are you?
I am called Agmar. I believe we can help.
Are you getting a reading on them?
A moment, Captain. The results are unclear.
Now, just a minute. I can't let you, whatever you are, inject him with some alien dewdrop.
To wait is to assure your friend's death. I must proceed.
Bones, let them help.
Captain, these beings are of botanical origin.
Intelligent plants?
So it would seem.
Transfer complete.
And welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the animated bridge,
this is Tyler Orton, hoping that his second contact goes a whole lot better than the first.
Okay, and for this week's conundrum, we're going to talk about second contact aliens we want. On Lower Decks.
Yeah, we got the new animated series that's premiering this week. We love the whole pitch of the show. It's about a ship that specializes in second contacts. So it's kind of like the cleanup work. And I think it actually has a lot of potential for fun, you know, like those weird, wacky aliens. And I like the now what sort of factor that it offers. Okay, you do kind of the big heavy lifting an episode earlier. Now it's time for kind of the cleanup crew to make things happen.
Right. And also there's some cases that I'll be mentioning where we left those aliens in a very perhaps strange place. And so what happens later when the second contact crew rolls around?
Yeah, this should be a fun one. And then, you know, just for listeners that might be curious, we did kind of tease last week that we'd be doing like lamest missions, because I think we'll see a little bit of that on Lower Decks as well. We'll do kind of a lightning round for that at the end of this episode after we get through the second contacts too. So don't you fear, we'll get to both lamest missions in all of Star Trek as well as Lower Deck second contact potential.
That's right. Really consider this your Lower Decks primer episode. We're going to try to cover all the avenues that this show has been teasing all along.
Yeah. So, Cam, let's kick it off with a fun one here. You know what? There's literally an episode called First Contact from Star Trek The Next Generation, which we're introduced to the Malkorians. They're on the verge of, say, warp speed, and they're not quite there yet. As we know, Riker gets a little bit trapped there, but we kind of leave them in a very precarious position where we know that, like, the world leaders know of extraterrestrial life, but they don't want to drop that bomb on their still developing species just yet. It would be fun to go back once they're ready, and then you can do kind of a second contact and a nudge, nudge, wink, wink to the rest of that entire planet. Oh, yeah, alien life. You're contacting it for the quote-unquote first time.
What I love about this one is all of the stuff involving Picard talking to the head Malkorian is so like stately, and there's so much like grandeur to this dialogue, and to follow that up on an animated series that's incredibly goofy would be a fun twist on something that was dealt with tonally very different the first time around.
Yeah, I'm picturing, you know, maybe the Lower Decks crew, I don't know, they accidentally get a little too drunk off of some Malkorian brandy or something like that, and things can go haywire. Like, there's a lot of potential for fun, especially when it's such a well-regarded episode of Star Trek, and for us to have, like, kind of fun within that universe, that species as well, wouldn't it be awesome if there's, I don't know, like, some sort of portrait in the background of hospital patient Riker?
And the BB Newirth character could make a reappearance, and we could get a voice cameo.
Hey, you know, maybe she's like the head of the hospital after making good on that demand that Riker, I guess, sleep with her if he ever wants to escape from the hospital.
I would also love it if on the planet, the Malkorians, in honor of their first contact, have like a statue of Picard, but it's completely not accurate to the dimensions he was on the show.
Just like ripped muscles and all?
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger body with Patrick Stewart head.
I can buy that. Now, does he have, you know how the Malkorians had kind of funny fingers or whatever? Like, does he have funny fingers? Are they anthropomorphizing this space alien in their own image?
I am all for that, yes. Give them a tail. Why not?
I don't recall that, but we need more aliens with tails, in my opinion. It makes me think of Cowardly Lion from Wizard of Oz. Cam, what's on your list here?
Okay, so one that I'll start off with is the Iotians from A Piece of the Action. And one of the things that Star Trek has sometimes done in the past, on TNG, for example, is taken some old concepts for episodes or storylines and recycled them. And that's something we saw in The Devils Do, as well as The Child. Obviously, those two examples aren't the world's greatest examples to trot out as a reasoning as to why I would want to do this again. But nonetheless, there was a lot of talk around the anniversary for Star Trek on DS9 when they did the Trials and Tribulations about potentially doing a riff on the Piece of the Action where they would go back and the aliens on that planet had basically adopted Starfleet attire and all that. And it would be kind of a riff on fans and the world of Star Trek fandom. And maybe that didn't fit the tone of DS9 great, but what would happen if we did it on an animated show where they don't have to worry about maybe a tone that just clashes, or, you know, when you represent something on DS9 or TNG, whatever, any of the Berman era shows especially, they have a seriousness to them that, you know, could seem maybe a little more mean-spirited if you are poking at the fans and look disapproving towards them. But on an animated show that's already kind of crazy, I think you could do something really fun with the Iotians and have them all be like Star Trek fans.
Yeah, I think in concept, the idea of having this very malleable species, you know, be influenced by the appearance of these uniformed Starfleet officers and then trying to kind of take after them, emulate them. I think in concept, that's a great idea for what DS9 wanted to do for the 30th anniversary of Star Trek. Execution-wise, it probably would have been a little weird seeing it realized on screen, or maybe a lot more potential for it to go, I don't know, maybe some laughs just wouldn't land. But I think you're absolutely correct. I think an animated series actually lends itself well to that. And I think as long as you're not punching down, you're having fun within that concept, I think that's a great idea there for second contact with those fellas.
And just imagine, for example, that they go down and there's like a Star Trek parade and they have like a parade float made to look like the Enterprise going by. You could do really fun stuff in an animated world.
Yeah, I would like to see, it's almost like going to a convention. Like, I think they could do kind of like those kinds of nods to even like kind of the convention sort of culture that exists, at least before COVID-19. I think this would be a blast to watch in animated form.
And you could even have like a cosplay contest. It could be really fun.
Yeah. Here's another one that I want to get into. This is with regards to Star Trek Voyager. You mentioned how sometimes species are left in kind of precarious positions and all the ship can do is go on. Well, do you recall the episode 30 Days featuring those aquatic dwellers, the Monians, and how they just kept using oxygen refineries that were destroying like their water planet? Tom tried to stop that. Voyager stopped him. He got demoted. And guess what? There's really no resolution for this planet whatsoever. Do we have a situation where, you know, a couple decades later, maybe the Lower Decks crew checks in on this planet to see if there's any potential for this water world, so to speak, to still exist?
I would love this. When I was coming up with my list, I was really wondering, because I know that Lower Decks has a lot of permission to kind of just do what it wants to do. And I'm wondering how obscure the references we're going to get are. I would love to see this. I think this could be so much fun. I wonder if they would ever go there.
It's like I wonder if it comes down to this, like legal licensing stuff. Do they want to pay royalties to whoever it was that created the Monians? Or maybe it's just only certain characters that they'd have to pay royalties to. I think it's a fun enough idea where you come to like this water planet that is, it's already got a leak in it. And they're like, hey, let's try to make good on that first contact where we were literally trying to interfere with the development of your species. We can help out. You guys see that your inability to address kind of climate change, well, it's backfired on you at this point. I think this one could work even if you don't have, you know, that background knowledge on 30 Days, which is, I think, one of the more well-regarded episodes of Star Trek Voyager as well.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you are right. If the premise of the alien is easy to get across, you can do it because a new viewer is not going to be lost. It doesn't matter if they've seen that episode of Voyager.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got for me?
Well, this is an animated Star Trek series, so I delved into the animated series, the original one that ran in the 70s, because I was like, you know, in a world where you could kind of do anything with your alien designs, was there something there that I thought would be fun to bring back? And one that really jumped out to me was the Phylogians from the episode The Infinite Vulcan, which is the plant people. And actually, when we were in Las Vegas, I can't remember if it was this past year or the year before, there was someone in the costume contest who was walking around the hallways dressed as one of these Phylogian plant people. And one of the gists of the Phylogians in this episode was they were creating an army of Spock clones, or they wanted to, and they had one that they became known as Spock 2. And ultimately, at the resolution of the episode, Spock 2 stays behind to help the Phylogians get back on track. So what happens if we check back in with plant people, which, hey, plant people, animated, that's fun just on its own. But what happens if we come back and Spock 2 is still around?
Now, Cam, are we splicing in tidbits of Leonard Nimoy's voice to have him do all the lines? Or are we, like, employing somebody like one Ethan Peck to do the voice of Spock 2?
I think I would probably go Ethan Peck.
Okay. Did you ever see that episode of South Park where they killed off Chef? And it was pretty funny because all they did is take Isaac Hayes's voice out of context from all these previous episodes. And it was just all these random spliced in lines. It was a pretty good joke.
I definitely heard about that episode, but I had jumped off the South Park train pretty early. No real reason. I did enjoy the first couple seasons that I watched, but for some reason, I don't remember. Maybe it was just scheduling on when it aired back in the day in Canada, but I didn't check in with later seasons.
And well, what if they spliced in Isaac Hayes' voice instead of Leonard Nimoy's?
Well, I mean, you could do something really funny. That's the thing. Like, if it's Lower Decks, there's an irreverent tone to it. So, like, you don't have to play Spock 2 as the exact replica of Spock at this point in time. It's been quite a, you know, stretch of time since Spock 2 was left behind.
And who knows what he's doing? Spock 2 is a bit of a jerk, you know, like a little bit more irreverent. He's kind of a punk Spock.
Well, exactly. And I mean, who knows? Maybe those plant people continued cloning experiments. Maybe we got some other characters that could pop up as clones. Maybe we get
Cybok 2.
Cybok 2. Lawrence Luckinbill is available. Maybe we get a, Chekhov. Or sorry, no, he wasn't on the show. That's awkward. But maybe we get a Sulu replica. Who knows? Like, we could do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I would love it if there's literally a Lawrence Luckinbill voiceover cameo just for this one idea.
Yeah, that would be amazing, especially if they put that episode out on a Star Trek anniversary. And they're like, guys, this is our Star Trek anniversary episode we want to be remembered for. The return of Lawrence Luckinbill as Cybok.
55th anniversary is coming up quicker than you'd think, so it's possible.
Send those letters, folks. Let's start this campaign going.
Okay, Cam, you might think that my next choice here is a bit of a joke, but I think it lends itself well to, like, some fun ideas here. Not a lot of people were probably craving the return of the Baku from Star Trek Insurrection, but the Federation really did mess up that first contact with this species that has discovered the fountain of youth here. I think you bring back the Lower Decks crew to interact with them, and they find that this, you know, ringed planet radiation is making them all young and virile again. I think you can actually get some fun stuff going on there. And maybe we get another Anish voice cameo in this situation.
Well, I think Anish cameo.
There's hummingbirds everywhere.
There's a real selling point.
Yeah. Donna Murphy, everybody. That's the 55th anniversary that we've been waiting for.
Can we call this episode The Perfect Moment?
I love it. I was going to say that's perfect. But, yeah.
I mean, I think in an animated episode, you could do a lot more fun things with the Fountain of Youth concept. I mean, what we saw in Insurrection, the stabs we had at comedy that were pretty bad. But imagine doing that in an animated show where you can kind of go a little bit crazy. I mean, we saw in the Counterclock incident from the animated series where they age backwards. There's some funny stuff there. You could do the same sort of thing here. The characters, a lot of them are obviously younger on this show, but we could still do things with them maybe reverting back to more of childhood behavior. And then you have the senior crew also going back the way the TNG characters did. So you could have a nice contrast in young versus older characters. I think you could do some really fun stuff with that.
Yeah, who has to take on the adolescent role, or I should even say probably prepubescent role that Data has, where literally he's trying to get punchlines by telling the little kid, Artem, I need to go home now. Like, that's the stuff that really didn't work on screen for us. But like we were talking about earlier with regards to a piece of the action kind of follow-up, I think there's stuff that just might be a little bit cringeworthy if executed in live action that I think would just be better to see animated.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think that could be really fun.
Do we get, I don't know, is the episode about the revenge of, what's the guy's name? F. Murray Abraham's character? Rafu? It's they scoop his body out of outer space and it goes through the radiation and revives him and he's trying to get back for his own vengeance.
Or maybe they just keep his brain like one of the gamesters of Triskelion.
That'd be something. It's getting younger and younger.
Hey, here's a question. What color is his brain?
I'd assume gray.
Gray? Okay, because in the gamesters of Triskelion, it was like blue, yellow, red. Like they were all the colors of the rainbow. So.
Well, I guess that's what makes them space aliens. Although we did notice that the Baku / Sona people, the only reason the Sona looked different is because they kept getting like plastic surgery. Otherwise, the Baku looked exactly like humans.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They should have had more fun with them. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a TNG thing often, to not have really like crazy fun with some of their alien designs.
Well, I can't believe I forgot about this, Cam, but there's a lot of potential for llama humor in that potential episode, too.
The richest brand of humor.
Yeah. Just for those that don't recall, go back and rewatch Insurrection. There are way more llamas than you'll ever realize if you're just looking out for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so my next one is one. I'm going to take one of the sacred gems of Star Trek and propose that we revisit it. And that is the Temerians from the episode Darmok.
Mm.
Now, we all know Darmok is like one of the most moving great Picard stories ever. But what happens if we have a second contact with the Temerians and now they're telling stories about Picard?
Oh, okay. That would be fun. Because my question was going to be, can we sustain another episode of trying to decipher this Temerian language in which people... they're using all these proper nouns that we have no context for, and then trying to decipher these narratives within them. I think it's amazing that they were able to pull that off for a full 45 minutes, 25 years ago. Can they do it again for 22 minutes in an animated sort of format?
Well, I think if you're going to do it in this format, it would actually work really well, because as you said, 22 minutes, that's a lot shorter. You take away setup and credits and all that sort of stuff, and we're down to like 18, 17 minutes. And I think you could definitely do something really fun and fast paced with these characters. I would not ever propose that this be the same type of story about two characters just talking on a planet again. I think there's just a fun way to have maybe the characters have to swing by Temerian society or something like that and have some fun with maybe the stories they're telling now.
Well, I think the humor is going to come from whoever's assigned to do the, language translations and how they have to try to figure out stories to tell and maybe some of the mistranslations that can ensue from that.
What would be fun is, and this isn't something they did obviously on TNG, but is to have the most literal character go. Like someone who's the equivalent of like Drax the Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy show up and have to deal with storytelling.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a lot of fun there. I'm going to go to an episode a little bit closer in time to us. This is The Sound of Thunder from Discovery, in which we meet the Ba'ul from Kaminar. These are the aliens that were essentially, you know, enslaving the Kelpians through technology and I guess eating them. That was the implication, Cam. But really, as we see the Kelpians get to go through their natural metamorphosis, they become the predator species. What exactly has happened to Ba'uls by the time we get to the end of the 24th century?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm very curious if we ever revisit the Ba'uls on Discovery. We'll see. I mean, I guess they might at that point. We might get actually a glimpse of what they look like in the future.
If it's 1,000 years in the future, I think maybe a lot of things can change within society. Maybe there's a lot of friendship going on between the Ba'ul and the Kelpians.
Maybe. But I would love to see what they could do with the visual design of the Ba'ul in an animated show as well, because...
Black ink.
Yeah, what we saw in the show was bizarre and nightmarish. But I think on an animated show, you might be able to have more fun with them.
Well, didn't we think that it was like Armus at one point from Skin of Evil?
It definitely felt inspired by Armus. Discovery kind of did that a couple times, though, these weird fake-outs. You could say the same thing about when they were teasing Borg-like presences on Season 2 Discovery, but it wasn't actually the Borg.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think the Ba'ul could be really fun because the Ba'ul play such an important role in the world of Star Trek Discovery, but I feel like we know next to nothing about them. So any excuse to do more with them, I'm all for.
Yeah, because we have, what, like 130, 140-year gap between, you know, Discovery and Lower Decks. I'm just wondering, where do you think we derive the comedy out of this situation? Because Lower Decks is supposed to be more lighthearted, and we're talking about a species that literally builds technology to consume the flesh of Kelpians.
Well, that's also true, but we haven't been to a Ba'ul world. Maybe it's really fun and crazy. Like, maybe it's like water slides everywhere filled with black tar.
Well, wasn't Kaminar the Ba'ul world?
It was, right? Yeah.
It was. So I wonder then if the situation, look, we've got Second Contact finally going. They're like, you know what, these Ba'ul folks, they seem cool enough now. They're not as aggressive anymore. I don't know. We find out that they're all going vegan. We have some opportunities to have some humor there, right?
And leaving tar trails wherever they go.
Who's in charge of tar trail cleanup aboard the ship? That's the crappy assignment that you don't want.
Now, who ultimately would you rather see as a tar character on Lower Decks? The Ba'ul or Armus?
I think there's more interesting stuff that you can do with the Ba'ul just from a mythological perspective. I think it would be way funnier to bring back Armus. I don't know, give that guy his due, because all that happened to him is he kills Yar, and then he's just kind of left on this planet to be miserable. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, leaving the alien behind, who's like, please don't leave me kind of scenarios. But I think you could do something pretty funny with a tar creature that's really grouchy and miserable all the time.
People say that about me, so yeah, you're right. I'm hilarious.
Tarler Orton.
Tarler. Okay. Cam, you're up next, sir.
Okay. One that I think could be really fun is Nagillum from Where Silence Has Lease.
That would be fun to you? Okay, you explain this to me, sir.
Okay, I feel like every Star Trek show needs their great omnipotent being to kind of have fun with. And we haven't gotten that on Discovery, really. But obviously Q played a huge role through the Berman era. You had some of the various gods show up on the original series. But Nagillum was one who showed up. He was absolutely bizarre looking. And the show really didn't know what to do with him because the episode sucked really badly. But what happens if we take Nagillum, you know, translate him to the animated world and make him the overseeing omnipotent being of the series? Because he's such a ridiculous, goofy character. Why not exploit that in a show that's having fun and doing goofy things with Star Trek?
Okay, maybe you could do that. But are any fans excited to see the return of Nagillum at this point?
I can think of one.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying fans are excited to see the return of Baku or anything like that. But, like, I'm just wondering. It's an episode that leaves such a sour taste in my mouth. Like, I think there'd be, like, lots of fun to bring back Armus. It's just Nagillum, like you said, like, he's got a cool look. But, like, what do you think is kind of his most discernible personality trait?
His charismatic speeches.
Okay.
I just think, like, we take this concept of this character and then do the Second Contact and have this be their overriding, you know, pop in, pop out, omnipotent being, because it's such a bizarre character that it's instantly memorable.
He's their Loki to a certain degree?
Sure, yeah. Have fun with him. Do whatever you want. Like, no one is going to be beholden to the canon of Nagillum.
I agree with that, yeah. here's one that it might be a bit of a stretch for humor, but I think this is a species that really does deserve a Second Contact. And those are the nucleogenic life forms from the Voyager two-parter Equinox. Those are like those interdimensional space worms that they were harvesting for like propulsion systems. That is a brutal way to introduce yourself if you're the Federation. I think they need to, like, I don't know, bring like a glass of wine, like a gift basket. They need to do something to kind of really clean up the mess that we saw that one Captain Savage left for them. Or I'm sorry, Captain Ransom. John Savage was the actor. Rudy Ransom was the character.
But he made the cast and crew call him Captain Savage when he was on the set.
even while the cameras were rolling. It was kind of, it messed with continuity.
I mean, even to this very day.
Dude, you go look at his Twitter account. It says Captain Savage right there.
Weirdly enough, that's also what Fred Savage has labeled on his Twitter as well. It's a lot of confusion.
Neither one of them can get that blue check mark because of that discrepancy.
That's right. But yeah, actually, this one did not occur to me when I was putting together my list. And these aliens do deserve a better second experience in the world of Star Trek, because their first one was pretty horrific.
They're being torn out of their own dimensions and being harvested for propulsion power. It just, I have no problem with them attacking like the Equinox crew. And by default, they had to do that with Voyager. The humor of the situation, I kind of laid it out. It's just like, what is like the most contrite acts that the Federation can do? Maybe they're going through Janeway's logs and they're like, oh, it's been about 20 years. We need to make good on this one, guys.
I also love the idea, too, of taking alien species that are maybe expensive or a little difficult to do on the regular, on live action, in this case, these flying creatures, and putting them in an animated show where it doesn't matter what the alien looks like, it costs the same.
Dude, I'm totally with you there. Maybe you're even inspiring my next pick, but it's your turn next, so you go for it, sir.
Well, I mean, that was obviously why I picked Nagillum as well.
Okay.
My next one is one that probably should be obvious to a lot of people. It's never had a major reappearance again on Star Trek, and I think we all want to see them again, and that's the Mugatu. I think, you know, the Mugatu from the episode Private Little War on the original series are iconic, but I don't think the franchise has ever really known what to do with them. Like, it's like, okay, they're like a really, you know, violent species that poisons people. Like, what do we do with this? But what happens if at this point in time, the crew has to go down and now communicate with this species, you know, like 100 plus years later, maybe the Mugatu are now like, they found a way to communicate with them. What if it's becoming a riff on like Planet of the Apes or something like that?
They're all speaking like the Queen's English.
That would be amazing. And they're like living in like Victorian style housing and everything.
They have tea time, you know.
Oh, and they have those old timey bicycles with the giant front wheel.
Yeah, the velocipedes. I also think that just the look of the Mugatu, it would be a blast to see them on Star Trek Picard or Star Trek Discovery. But I think there is a potential for them to be kind of goofy looking in live action. I think an animated series actually lends itself very well to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually shocked that the Mugatu haven't been revisited at some point. It just seems crazy that they haven't.
Well, what do you think is more likely? We get them in Discovery Season 3, which takes place, you know, almost 1,000 years in the future. Or maybe there's kind of a background cameo in Star Trek Picard.
I feel like Picard...
Assuming that they're not going to be in Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yeah. I feel like Picard's highly unlikely. I just don't think a Picard series has a lot of interest in original series stuff. But I do think Discovery would consider an episode where you had like, I mean, Discovery's done some sort of horror stories quite well. Like you look at the first appearance of Ripper, for example. I think you could do something with the Mugatu that maybe amped up like a very scary situation. I could see them doing that. I don't know that they would take an alternate twist on them and do something different. That's the question. Like, I think Lower Decks could. I don't know that Discovery would.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You know, why don't I jump right off there? I kind of teased it a moment ago, but I'll do another TOS alien. We've only seen the Horta ever once. What if we get the chance to kind of go to another mining colony and there's Horta children abound, as was alluded to at that point. The humor there, I don't know, we can recruit like a Vulcan character to do like another mind meld at this point. I think that would be a lot of fun. Just because the Horta is so iconic looking, but it's such a simple design. I wonder if they can kind of have fun with just kind of those silicon balls that they might be accidentally bouncing around or something like that.
Well, again, this is another alien species that translates really well to animation, where you could actually do some really fun, crazy things. Obviously, in that episode, they could only show so much. You couldn't have it, you know, boring through walls and all that sort of thing. But in an animated show, the Horta could do some really crazy stuff. And I think that could be a lot of fun. I'm wondering, though, one of the legendary moments in Devil in the Dark is Spock mind-melding with it and going, Pain, pain. What is the Vulcan character on Lower Decks announcing out loud to everyone?
Do you know what it is? It's not even a Vulcan character doing a mind meld. It's maybe Boimler, the main character of Lower Decks. He stubs his toe as he walks towards the Horda and says, pain, pain, just as like an allusion to the series.
That could be actually really fun too. I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Do you think there's anything else that the potential Vulcan mind melder could elicit from that experience?
I mean, the whole thing with the Devil in the Dark was like, it's a very profound moment. Finding this character experiences pain, right? And is scared. What if it's something that's like completely like uninteresting or just like off the cuff, irrelevant, like a moment where like it's just like mild hunger
or somewhat irritated.
Exactly, something like that could be really funny.
No, I'm totally down for that. Cam, okay, this I think could be a fun one though. We've been talking about this episode the last couple weeks. I only bring it up though because Conundrum is such a memorable one from TNG, in which the Sitarans use their kind of mind wipe technology and all the characters forget who their identities are. And this is so that the guy posing as Commander Kieran McDuff can go ahead and use the ship, the Enterprise, to destroy their decades-old space-faring enemies at this point. I think if you get another situation, and it might just be kind of one of those Naked Time v. Naked Now sorts of ripoffs, but if you get to know these characters for, let's say, 10, 20 episodes, I think the time would be right to do a second contact with the Sitarans and see if, I don't know, if they're going to do kind of a mind wipe on the crew, make them do, like, what if the Lower Decks crew suddenly thinks that they're in charge of the bridge, and then you have, like, kind of the command officers have to do all the Lower Deck sort of duties. That could be kind of fun there, too.
Well, one of the key things with Star Trek is these high concept episodes, and they obviously run the gamut through the various series. And I think if you're going to do a Lower Deck show that's a little bit of a spoof on the world of Star Trek, I think you've got to come up with a high concept episode that can be milked for comedic value, like real comedic value. And like, why not bring an alien species like this back? And, you know, it gives you a little bit of a connectivity to the, obviously to TNG, which is great for fans. But you can also now have maybe a little bit of a different scenario, but still play with this alien species again. I mean, what if it's like the Children of McDuff? You know, like, what if it's something along those lines? Like, something that, again, you don't 100% have to know as a new coming viewer, but as someone who's watched Conundrum, which is obviously a very popular episode, you would definitely have some laughs with it.
Yeah, no, mind wipe episodes. Look, Buffy and Angel both had fun with those. Like, I would think Star Trek could, you know, do it again for a second time. So that would be a lot of fun there too.
One that I picked, kind of in line with the Horta and the aliens from Equinox, in the animated series, they encounter these giant telepathic slugs that capture the crew and put them in an alien zoo. It's in the episode Eye of the Beholder. And where else am I going to see giant telepathic slugs realized again other than an animated show? And so yeah. With Lower Decks, I propose we bring back these giant crazy slugs to have an encounter with the crew. I considered briefly the giant snail from the Enterprise episode Rogue Planet, but I just decided that that episode's really terrible and no one likes it.
Okay.
Versus Eye of
I'm
the
not going to argue with you on that one.
Yeah. Versus Eye of the Beholder, which is really fun. And you get a lot of imagery of these giant, enormous slugs putting tiny little crew members in a zoo. And so I think you could have the characters put in very funny situations. The animated episode is kind of comedic in tone anyway of the original series, but I think you could do something a little more wacky, a little crazier. You know, what's happened to the zoo in the 100+ years since? Maybe it's a little bit different now. I think there's something really cool that could be done there.
Well, maybe there's a campaign like we're seeing nowadays where they're trying to free all these zoo animals. Like, you know, Tiger King, Free Willy, they've brought up a lot of attention to the plight of these captured animals. Maybe that's what the crew is doing. They're captured, and then they try to get this campaign to get themselves freed as well.
And maybe we ultimately see this species, they're called the Lactrans, by the way. Maybe by the end we see the Lactrans embracing something like Cirque du Soleil, and we can have a giant circus of giant slugs.
I'm just thinking of that episode of The Simpsons where they go to Cirque du Soleil. Homer wasn't having it. It'd be funny if we got another character from the show. Just wasn't having it like Homer.
That would be great.
Another alien species that you might think got a second contact, but they didn't technically do that. Those are the biomimetic life forms from the Demon and Course Oblivion episodes of Star Trek Voyager, those silver bloods, as they were known. These are the aliens that can kind of mimic forms, and they essentially created doubles of the entire Voyager ship, as well as the crew. And of course, they met their demise without ever encountering the Voyager crew in Course Oblivion. It is, I think, one of your favorite episodes of Star Trek Voyager, a really great high concept one. They're kind of just like floating in space dead at this point because they went too far from their planet. What if we go have another official encounter and we get like doubles created, the entire Voyager crew, or I should say Lower Decks crew moving forward as well. And the comedy comes from the doubles interacting with the originals.
Well, I mean, you can always have fun with doubles, and there's a long history of that in Star Trek, going way back to the start of the original series. So I'm all for doubles. I think that's a lot of fun, especially in an animated show, because again, you don't have to deal with the technical issues that can be a little bit cumbersome nowadays. I mean, it's easier now than it used to be, but of having actors play doubles throughout a live-action show. So I'm all for this. This could be really fun. Also, just like you could have, you know, you said the Voyager crew initially, and I think it could be really fun to have voice cameos from some of the Voyager crew. Maybe there's other replicas of them out there too. It's an organic way to work in classic characters without kind of having to bend awkwardly over backwards to, you know, accommodate their being there.
Yeah, look, if you get like Robert Duncan McNeil or something like that, that would be fun. I find it fascinating that they could perfectly mimic both mechanical sorts of, you know, technologies as well as organic, you know, stuff. They can mimic pretty much anything. So I think there's a lot of potential for fun there.
Yeah, I agree. This could be really fun. One that I think we have to call out, the Edo from the episode Justice.
And that's literally on my list as well. But you explain. Cam, I have no idea what you're talking about. Where could the comedy come from?
The Edo are arguably the most hilarious Star Trek species on TNG. I don't know if there's a lot of runners up. They're so absurd. And
runners up, huh?
100%.
All the running that they do on that planet in Justice?
100% intended as a pun.
Okay.
You know, when you and I were in Vegas a couple of years ago, I don't even remember. Time flows so quickly nowadays. But there was a bunch of cosplayers dressed up as Edo jogging around the convention area. And, you know, the fans get it. They find the Edo hilarious, and I think it could be really fun to revisit the species, which, like, when we left them, they were still being overseen by this alien object. Am I right?
Yeah, he's like their version of God. And he seemed like a really, like, kind of, petty sort of God, too.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he's literally going to execute a little boy because he fell in some bushes.
Bushes, it's a flower pot. And so, like, what kind of crazy laws could the cast of Lower Decks break? They would have to really stretch to come up with something more absurd than flower pots, but I think they could do it.
I don't know. Like, yeah, what would be kind of the absurd thing that would be even more ridiculous than the crushed flowers that we witnessed in Justice?
Well, how about you almost repeat it, but it's the labeled as the Wesley Crusher Memorial.
Okay.
Flower pot.
And well, look, maybe there's a statue of Wesley Crusher and somebody accidentally knocks it over or something like that.
Yeah, it's like the individual who helped cause law reform on the planet.
I now condemn you to death.
That's right.
I just want a scene, though, where, you know, the Edo make it onto the ship and they have to get from, you know, room to room and just jogging through the corridors the entire time as well.
I think that could be amazing. And I'm kind of shocked that they haven't found a cheeky way to use the Edo again, because it just seems like of those first couple seasons of TNG, they're one that have really stuck around in fans' memories.
I would also love it if in the background, as the Ito are running through the corridors, you have like cameos from those characters in Learning Curve on Star Trek Voyager that we still mock to this day about all their jogging exercises that they did with Tuvok throughout.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Cam, next up for me, though, it's Krennim from Year of Hell. These are the ones in which Anorex has kind of perfected this sort of time travel technology. And by perfected, well, he knows how to erase things, but he doesn't quite know what to do about the butterfly effect that ensues here. I think the characters from Lower Decks trying to like go to the Krennim and be like, hey, hope it's all going okay right now. And then more butterfly effect comedy goes from there with certain people getting erased. Does this episode have to end once more in the giant reset button of maybe the starship crashing into the Krennim time vessel?
It doesn't have to, but I'm wondering if you could do that. You could have the reset ending, but it's done in a far more comedic way. Like, you remove the drama of, you know, Janeway crashing a ship into that villain versus like having to do something that's really silly or absurd to reset the timeline. I think that could be really fun.
What if they introduce like a really like purposefully annoying character like two or three episodes ahead of time, and the episode ends essentially with that character being erased, and the crew just looks around each other with knowing glances, and they just say, "Good enough, we'll take this timeline."
I think that could be fun, like a Poochie character.
Yeah, hey, Mr. S. Or that's Roy.
That's Roy, yeah, but same idea.
Same idea. Okay. Well, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's one. It's a question mark a little bit next to them, but could we save the Povans? And the Povans, of course, are the aliens introduced in the episode C.V. Packham Parabellum on Discovery. And the reason they popped out to me was a lot of what we're talking about are classic aliens from TOS, TNG, Voyager. I think that the Kurtzman era also wants to continue like to, you know, keep their own creations going as well, to, you know, basically expand on what they've created. So it's not just like, you know, our legacy is just using legacy characters. I think they want some of their aliens to continue on as well. The Povans, as introduced in C.V. Packham Parabellum, were not that interesting, but they were kind of musical. So I'm wondering if you could do maybe an all music episode featuring the Povans.
How about, they try to do hip hop or something like that, because the Povans were not beat heavy or groove heavy. I think if you're trying to introduce like beats into Povan society, that could be fun.
I think you could do something funny with an alien like this that does kind of communicate with sort of musical language. And Star Trek has never done a musical episode. I think that's something they've kicked around in the past as an idea, but it's never come to fruition. And I think an animated show is someplace where you could really do it because, again, 22-minute runtime, you don't have to come up with as much music as a 45-minute episode.
A bit of a tangent, though, but you brought up a good point. What are the most iconic aliens to come out of the Kurtzman era at this point?
Kelpians?
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
And after that?
Yeah, so let's almost remove the Kelpians, because when you've got a lead character who's a Kelpian, that gives them an unfair advantage. But of the creations they've come up with,
like, you got the fungus species that invaded Tilly's head.
Uh-huh.
We were not really fans of that with May. Mm-hmm. You also have the Gormaganders. They got a couple of shout-outs. You can even eat Gormaganders. I think it'd be fun to, you know, do a second contact with a Gormagander, although I believe that they've been encountered multiple times.
Well,
and I
maybe
guess the Ba'ul and the Povans.
I think maybe the most iconic non-Kelpian might be Ripper.
Yeah. No. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there's some potential for some more tardigrade sort of appearances, maybe in Lower Decks. I totally think that there. Yeah. We already got like an animated tardigrade in that short trek as well. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that we could do yet another animated tardigrade again. And it worked out the first time.
When you had that episode, Ephraim and Dot, the short trek that I thought was fantastic and was animated, I wonder if that is something they're looking at as a character or species to continue on, because, you know, every era of Star Trek has some aliens that they'll like to reintroduce just to continue and build them up to carry on to the next iteration of whatever Star Trek is in the future. I wonder if they may look at the tardigrade as being their contribution right now.
I could believe that for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cam, I realized when I was going through and compiling all my list of species, there's not a lot from Deep Space Nine because they did the Dominion and they kind of locked in on that. They realized like how cool it is to kind of develop that. But otherwise, it's just all these kind of like one-offs. I feel just in order to give the series its due, I'm going to go to one of my guilty pleasures. It seems that all fans hate this episode, Move Along Home. But what about a return for the Wadi? I predict comedy coming out of that with another game that the crew gets trapped in.
I purposely left this on my list because I knew you would have it on yours.
Of course I would, though, but I don't know. Like, I think it could work if all you do is make fun of Move Along Home as an episode and what you have to point out the absurdity of making characters do jumping jacks and singing, getting trapped in gas-filled chambers that serve food in them. That kind of, like, just an all-out parody of a much-derided episode, I think that could actually work.
I actually think there's something to this. And, you know, when you consider where tabletop gaming was in the 90s versus right now, I actually think you could do a lot of fun things with tabletop gaming culture, which has become very popular. I mean, what happens if the crew gets stuck in a game that the rules are so convoluted they can't even figure it out?
Well, you know that episode of Community, the sitcom, in which they had that VCR game that they're making fun of because this VCR game is just, the rules were just so hard to understand, half the teams couldn't even keep up with it.
Yeah, well, also, just think of real life, Tyler, the time you, me, and fallen co-host Ben Yong tried to play Star Trek Fleet Captains.
Well, we spent three and a half hours reading the instructions, trying to figure out the instructions, and then we spent 20 minutes playing the game until we realized it's not a very fun game and we gave up.
Yeah, and also you're forgetting we watched a 45-minute YouTube tutorial as well.
Yeah, Cam, I'm not exaggerating when I said that we spent 3+ hours trying to learn how to play, right?
That is completely accurate. So, like, I think you could do a fun commentary on tabletop gaming within an episode of Lower Decks that's also bringing back a very notorious alien species from DS9.
Yeah, maybe even a shout-out to Parks and Recreation with a Cones of Dunshire sort of reference. That would be fun, too.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just say my last alien on my list, and that is the Excalibians from the episode The Savage Curtain from the original series, which were giant, like, rock creatures. They're not really giant, I should say. More like, well, they're human-sized, but they were larger than most rocks, I guess. They were rock creatures that pitted the crew against, you know, well, Abraham Lincoln was on their side, but some of the great icons of alien cultures like Kalis. We also had Admiral Green, or Colonel Green, is it? Colonel Green, yeah. And so we had some canon Star Trek characters being introduced in that episode. But what happens if we did a more comedic take on the Savage Curtain, where, you know, Abraham Lincoln's a very well-known icon, known to be very, you know, important and dignified. What happens if we do an episode like The Savage Curtain and bring in really bumbling historical characters? Like, really
like
do
Donald
something.
Trump? Too soon? Too soon? Best episode ever.
He just gets demolished immediately off the bat in the battle and is like, I won. Everyone saw I won.
Y'all loses.
I don't know that Lower Decks wants to go there yet, but I do think you could have some really fun historical characters that maybe aren't on the same stature as Lincoln or whatever, or let's bring in some lesser Star Trek characters and have fun with them. I think that's something that could be really goofy and fun. Plus, rock creatures are always cool and animated. You can do whatever you want with them. They can be more mobile than they were on the Savage Curtain.
Yeah, they could be like those ones in Galaxy Quest, right?
Sure, or the ones in Neverending Story. You know, the ones that roll around.
I'm mostly just thinking about the Thing from Fantastic Four.
Him too, old blue eyes.
Yeah. Last one for me, and then we can get into Lamest Missions. Those aliens, I don't even think that they were named, but it's the episode Alliances in which they come and replace Picard, and he gets stuck in that chamber with three other alien species that are trapped there. It was so much fun to see Patrick Stewart cut loose as his double. It'd be great if we had a second contact attempted and we have another hoity-toity kind of character who is replaced and absolutely cuts loose aboard the ship.
Anytime you can have a replica of another character and play with how that character is portrayed week to week on the show is a good thing. So I think this could be really fun. Again, I mean, it's the same similar idea as, you know, the Course Oblivion aliens you referenced earlier, or even the cloning, like aliens that did
Spock
the...
Spock 2?
Yeah, Spock 2, the Phylogians. This is another way to do that. And I think that's something that an animated show should exploit and have a lot of fun with, which is... make like what happens if there's a replica of a character, like an alien species that is trying to impersonate someone from the ship that everyone knows immediately is an imposter and is basically just putting on an act the entire episode trying to convince this alien that they don't realize that they're an imposter.
That would actually be pretty good. I love that as well.
Yeah, I think that could be super fun.
One alien I never want to second contact with, though, is those abductor aliens from Schisms, in which whenever the crew falls asleep, they're amputated. I don't need the crew to do a second contact with them.
No, I'm good with those. That's just unsettling.
So, Cam, it's gonna be fun. In about a year from now, you know, we've seen like the first season, perhaps two seasons of Lower Decks. We'll have such a handle on all the characters. A lot of us are that we were doing just now. We're going back and forth and saying, like, wouldn't it be fun to do this or that? We'll know for certain, like, which characters these kind of ideas would work best with moving forward.
Yeah, right now, a lot of it is just kind of guesswork based on little bits of information, but we don't have a good grasp on the characters. So it'll be really fun going forward. Maybe we can expand on some of these ideas as the show continues, because we don't know what the show will offer in terms of fan service. I'm guessing a reasonable amount. So we may be able to talk a little bit more about some of these aliens and the personalities, you know, in the coming weeks when we're actually covering the show.
I'm all for it. Why don't we mosey on over into Lamest Missions, which we teased last week. Cam, I've got a couple to share. Why don't we start with you, though?
Okay. One right out of the gate. I think, you know, you referenced them earlier, you know, Data having the job of observing the Baku day to day in Insurrection is one of the lamest missions I could ever imagine. What are they doing? Playing in hay? Running around in circles? Like, brutal.
Yeah, I would not have much fun. I'd be asking for a transfer if I had to see all those llamas just wander around aimlessly throughout that village.
I feel like they didn't need the flagship for that job. Like, I feel like Data was probably a little outside of what was needed.
It was a little convoluted, even him being there. We read that, what was Michael Piller's book called about the development of Star Trek Insurrection? I think it was like Fade Out. And they had actually a tough time trying to figure out how the crew even made it to this Fountain of Youth planet. And I don't know if I quite bought the fact that, like, I don't know, Data was impervious to the radiation, but it didn't matter anyways because he was damaged, and so he still reverted to his younger self. They're trying to play with themes. It just doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
Cam, for me, I'm going to go to an episode in the cards in which Kira is ordered to make a speech to the Ministry of Agriculture about water refinement. She has so little interest in doing this that she actually enlists a teenage boy named Jake Sisko to write a speech about water for her.
I'd forgotten about this. This is a great pick on your part. This was amazing. And I remember watching this episode and really enjoying how they were really underlining some of the super boring things you have to do as a diplomatic, you know, she's not a member of Starfleet, but on these kind of Starfleet or Star Trek missions.
It's just, who wants to go make a speech about water? And why is she the most qualified person as a former freedom fighter / now current administrator aboard a space station? Why is she doing speeches for the Ministry of Agriculture on Bajor? I just scratched my head on that. But the writers were very successful at driving home the fact that that was a very lame assignment that she got.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Kira, I've got a follow-up to that of another mission, which is having to go to a moon to convince a farmer to leave.
Go on.
And this is the episode Progress, of course, where there's mining operations going on this moon. This one farmer's refusing to leave. And we spend an hour with Kira as she tries to convince this old man to leave.
This episode is brutal. It's like... It doesn't it seem like a very special episode, kind of an after-school special that, like, and we always kind of know how these stories play out because we've seen them so many times before. Cam, what a lame mission.
It's pretty bad, and I feel like this could have been dealt with by someone other than Kira, who had a very tense, demanding job on Deep Space Nine. Although, that said, they're also getting her to write about water reform, so maybe this was in line with her duties. What do I know?
I think at a certain point, Kira would have just beamed him off. Like, she wants to be sensitive to kind of what this guy suffered through, but she must have the patience of a saint to deal with that for a full hour.
How long is this episode if Worf is the one they send down to do it?
I think it's the teaser of the episode. And then after that, it's just warp speed for the next 21 and a half minutes.
It's just Worf pouring gasoline on this man's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, okay, speaking of Worf, I've got one for you. It's a very valuable job to have if you are a physician. But if you're head of security aboard the flagship and it is your job to deliver Molly O'Brien during a big panic aboard the ship, I think that's kind of a lame mission right there.
Yeah, that's definitely not high on the list of great missions, for sure.
Was he truly the most qualified person in all of 10 forward to deliver Molly O'Brien?
Who was there at that point? Do you remember?
I think Keiko would have preferred to self-deliver at that point.
I would think so. I mean, yeah, I have to imagine there's a few other people in that room that probably are better equipped than Worf. I think probably every other person is better equipped than Worf.
And if I'm Keiko, I know this guy has been chugging prune juice all day. He's at the end of his shift. That's why he's in 10 forward. Do I really want him to be the one to deliver my firstborn child?
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
I've got another lame one, which is basically the rescue crew that has to go in and save Harry Kim from his Beowulf Hulla novel.
Yes.
You know,
that Grendel is so dangerous, man.
In the episode Heroes and Demons, this is the case. And, you know, there's a lot of rescue missions in Star Trek that are tense, and you can understand why security crew have to be well-trained to do their jobs. But when you're a security crew member who's approached and told, Harry Kim has disappeared in Beowulf, we need to go get him, you must be rolling your eyes, right?
I'm sending the doctor, which they did do, mm-hmm. And I'm just having him try to figure out like how to go through this mythological Earth literature. I would be rolling my eyes ad infinitum at that point.
To be fair, I think we all did during that episode.
That was a hard one to watch.
One of the worst early Voyager episodes, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. Cam, let's say it's the Dominion War. You are this well-decorated captain leading the way on these, you know, space battles. You're developing strategy. And then all of a sudden, Admiral Bill Ross says, I like the cut of your jib, Sisko. I'm going to make you adjunct. You're my adjunct. I'm going to rip you off your Defiant. And you get to be kind of my personal secretary for the next 5 or 6 episodes. Would you not think that that's super lame?
Yeah, I mean, Admiral Ross did not seem like the biggest force of nature, charisma-wise. And so, like, what really is this guy doing day-to-day other than going to meetings and strategy sessions where, I don't know, you're standing next to him the whole time, but you also have to defer to him because he's the Admiral.
Well, they even went so far as to build, like, a set for multiple episodes where it's essentially just, like, been behind a desk for like 3 or 4 episodes. You could tell he was bored out of his mind.
Now, was that the character or Avery Brooks?
Maybe the actor is informing the performance at that point.
Because I have to believe if you are the actor and you're reading that script, you're probably like, what is my character doing? This isn't very interesting.
Well, it takes agency away from him too.
It does, yeah. So I don't know.
Which that was the point, obviously. I get it. But it wasn't fun for us as viewers to see that happen.
When we look back at the life and career of Sisko on DS9, that chapter is a little bit glossed over, I think, by most fans.
Yes. Yes, it is.
One we have to acknowledge, I think, because it's a famous case and one that was dealt with in a comedic way, but that is Kirk having to guard a consignment of grain from sabotage in The Trouble with Tribbles. which is one of the great ones.
When you said guarded from sabotage, I thought you meant from like the Beastie Boys, which have a long history in Star Trek 2 at this point. At least an 11-year history in Star Trek.
That's
that song
very
has been in multiple movies at this point.
That is also true. Yeah, you're right. Whenever you say Kirk and sabotage, the connection is made. But this one I thought was hilarious. And actually, tying it back to Lower Decks, this is something I want to see, is that kind of tone where I think William Shatner gives a really great comedic performance in this episode, getting increasingly frustrated with his lame mission. And that's something that I hope Lower Decks is looking at as well and saying, how can we get humor out of these situations?
No, I totally agree with you there. I think that's a good pick. One last one for me. Just we talked about it briefly last week with the evolution of Odo, but when he had to be Shakar's bodyguard for Crossfire, you just know that was a lame assignment for Odo.
I mean, I would not want to spend that much time with Shakar.
Unless he had a candle with him, right? A green candle.
That is very true. Very true.
Yeah.
I just had one last one I'll throw out there because I feel like I would be remiss to not mention it. But that is having to relocate the Bring Lloydy colonists and up the long ladder, the Irish stereotypes.
Okay. Or what about when we had Worf's brother, he also had to relocate those colonists as well.
And, yeah.
And we got that with the Baku as well. Those always seem to be pretty lame missions.
They really do, because usually there's some sort of alien species they've introduced because they're really kind of weird, which inherently makes them annoying to be around.
Yes. And by Worf's brother, of course, I was speaking about his dead ringer of an actor known as Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino, hopefully he's back on Lower Decks as well.
Yeah. So, Cam, next week, we're covering Lower Decks. It's on. Are you excited?
I am super excited for Lower Decks, and I hope I'm even more excited after watching the first episode of Lower Decks.
Yeah, you don't want to be bummed out, but you also kind of get this sense, like, how many animated shows do you know of that just hit it out of the ballpark episode one?
Simpsons. It was on model right out of the gate.
Hello, Bart. This is your dad, Walter Matthau.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you watch that show, all the character designs are down right from the get-go. So, you know, I think Simpsons is a great example. I have no arguments against it.
Well, I think what I'm going to be looking for are characters that I can latch on to, situations that I find amusing. I'm not in it really for like the punchlines. It's few and far between that like punchlines really land for me. I'm more of somebody who's into more of kind of the throwaway lines, more of the dry sense of humor, despite all the dad jokes that we make our listeners suffer through. But so look, if this episode is a little top heavy with like, so those, you know, setup punchline sorts of jokes, I'm okay with going with the flow. I'm mostly just looking for kind of that hangout factor that we always look for in Star Trek, and also just having fun within the Star Trek universe. I don't think Star Trek has enough fun within its own universe, and those are the episodes that we generally latch onto as well.
Well, and also, you and I have talked a lot about various Tribble episodes on this podcast. We did a whole episode on the Tribble episodes. And I think what's noteworthy, though, is every time we've talked about them, for the most part, we're talking about the way the characters are interacting or the situations they find themselves in. We're not reciting the punchlines of the episode. So I'm hoping that Lower Decks gives us fun situations and characters to talk about.
I do recite the punchline that Worf delivered when he was asked about the look of the Klingons, and he said, "This is not something we discuss with outsiders."
Well, that one you have to, I think, if you're going to mention Tribbles. But one other thing we should mention as well, though, is that, you know, we've since found out that Discovery Season 3 is going to air right after Lower Decks wraps. So we have a pretty long run coming up of Star Trek coverage.
It's going to be 23 weeks straight, like almost 6 months of episode reviews. I guess this is our last kind of classic format for the next little bit until I presumably, you know, late in the year, possibly all the way until, definitively, like all the way into 2021. Unless, of course, you know, there's probably got to be like a Christmas break or something for Star Trek Discovery.
I would hope so. I mean, no matter what, we'll have our best of the year episode out. But I would hope that they do some sort of break. I would have to imagine they probably will, right?
So yeah, they'll probably have maybe the six or episode six or episode seven. It'll probably be like a mid-season break. So yeah, we're probably looking at about like, I would say about like 16-17 weeks of kind of episode reviews, which, look, we love doing this kind of coverage for Star Trek. We're pigs in crap at this point, because when we started this podcast, there was no hope of ever having more content beyond like a third JJ movie.
Plus, you know, you look at the alien species we talked about in this episode and some of the lame missions and all that stuff. It's fun to keep adding to the canon. So in the future, when we do these kind of episodes, we have more sources of, you know, of canon to draw on for fun discussion. So, you know, the fact that we're getting more Lower Decks, more Discovery, I'm hoping to see more aliens, more situations that we can tie into future discussions, because that's something that really frustrated me about Picard was, I don't know that I left that series with as many new topics of discussion as I was hoping there would be. So I'm hoping these new, you know, two new seasons of Star Trek deliver a little more of that.
Kev, we discussed Star Trek Picard pizza more than the themes of the entire first season.
That and make fun of Elnor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We love making fun of Elnor.
We do. Yeah. Okay, so I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we want to hear from you. Jump on over to the Facebook page at facebook.com/subspacepod. Now, obviously, next week we'll be back with the first episode of Lower Decks. That's going to be a lot of fun, hopefully.
Episode title is actually Second Contact, so it's great that we covered that topic all day today. I guess it's going to be a little confusing in our SEO and all the episode titles coming up, but deal with it, listeners.
We'll just call it First Episode.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
First Episode, Second Contact.
That's right. Okay, you can, of course, find us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam, V as in Vulcan Clones. On Star Trek Lower Decks, Smith.
You can find me at Reportin. That's REPORTONN as in Nigillum. Make that long-awaited cameo we are all been hoping for.
Please, please, please. Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.